Be of good cheer. March 27, 1905, typed. David was a representative man. His history is of interest to every soul who is striving for eternal victories. In his life, two powers struggled for the mastery. Unbelief marshaled its forces and tried to eclipse the light shining upon him from the throne of God. Day by day the battle went on in his heart, Satan disputing every step of advance made by the forces of righteousness. David understood what it meant to fight against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. At times it seemed that the enemy must gain the victory, but in the end, faith conquered, and David rejoiced in the saving power of Jehovah. The struggle that David went through, every other follower of Christ must go through. Satan has come down with great power, knowing that his time is short. The controversy is being waged in full view of the heavenly universe, and angels stand ready to lift up for God's hard-pressed soldiers a standard against the enemy, and to put into their lips songs of victory and rejoicing. Go, preach the gospel. To all of us have been entrusted weighty responsibilities. The commission that Christ gave to his disciples just before his ascension is given to us also. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Christ said. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. When, in his expiring moments on the cross, Christ exclaimed, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. John 19, verse 30, Matthew 27, verse 50, 51. The need for the Jewish system of sacrifices and offerings had ended. Type had met antitype in the death of the one to whom the sacrifices pointed. A new and living way had been opened, a way by which Jew and Gentile, free and bond, could come to God and find pardon and peace. Christ is to be uplifted as the Redeemer of the world. He is to be proclaimed as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Ye shall receive power, the Savior declared, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1, verse 8. Christ's last act before leaving this earth was to commission his ambassadors to go to the world with his truth. His last words were spoken to impress the disciples with the thought that they held in trust the message of heaven for the world. In obedience to the Savior's command, the disciples returned to Jerusalem and there waited for the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly intelligences cooperated with them and gave power to the message that they bore. The Holy Spirit gave efficiency to their missionary efforts, and on one occasion, 3,000 were converted in a day. Paul, miraculously transformed from a bitter persecutor to a zealous believer, was added to the number of the disciples. To him was entrusted in a special manner the work of giving the message to the Gentiles. To John, banished to the Isle of Patmos for his faithfulness in witnessing to Christ, there was given special light to the church. In his exile, he beheld his glorified Redeemer and saw more distinctly than ever before what was to be at the close of this earth's history. He saw the mercy, tenderness, and love of God blending with his holiness, justice, and power. He saw sinners finding a father in him of whom their sins had made them afraid. Mercy and truth met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. In the place of fleeing from God because of our sins, we flee to his arms for protection and pardon. The throne, terrible to us in our unbelief, becomes in our repentance a place of refuge. In the power of the Spirit.
The delegated servants of Christ are to bear their testimony in the power of the Spirit. The yearning desire of the Savior for the salvation of sinners is to mark all their efforts. The gracious invitation, first given by Christ, is to be taken up by human voices and sounded throughout the world. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. The church is to say, "Come." Every power in the church is to be actively engaged on the side of Christ. The followers of Christ are to combine in a strong effort to call the attention of the world to the fast fulfilling prophecies of the Word of God. Infidelity is gaining a strong hold in the churches. Shall those to whom great light has been given now be cold and faithless? A power from beneath is leading men to war against the truth. Church members have confederated with satanic agencies to make void the law of God. At this time, a time of overwhelming iniquity, a new life, coming from the source of all life, is to take possession of those who have the love of God in their hearts, and they are to go forth to proclaim with power the message of a crucified and risen Savior. The inhabitants of the world are fast becoming as the inhabitants of the world in Noah's day, who were swept away by the flood, and as the inhabitants of Sodom, who were consumed by fire from heaven. The powers of Satan are at work to keep minds diverted from eternal realities. The enemy has arranged matters to suit his own purposes. Horse racing, gambling, games of every kind, the fashions of the day. These things occupy the minds of men and women. In the broad road that leads to eternal ruin, there walks a long procession. The world, filled with violence, reveling, and drunkenness, is converting the church. The law of God, the divine standard of righteousness, is declared to be of no consequence. Should not this terrible condition of things stir the followers of Christ to put forth earnest, untiring efforts to save souls? Can we not see plainly that the end of all things is at hand? Shall we not realize the importance of the commission given us and work earnestly for those who are ready to perish? We have not a moment to lose. Our example is to be such that it will have a telling influence for good on those around us. We are to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. My brother, my sister, now is time for you to give your property, your time, your strength, your influence, unreservedly to the Lord, asking Him to use them all to the saving of souls. The Holy Spirit is to be our sanctifier and our efficiency. The assurance of success is ours because of the provision made by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are traveling in the narrow way, and we shall meet with obstacles and difficulties. But as we follow on to know the Lord, we shall know that His going forth is prepared as the morning. Bitter and relentless will be our enemies. Nevertheless, we are to do the work given us. Christ's presence is promised us. "Lo," He says, "I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20.
In his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We must treat the great subjects of eternal interest as all important. We must urge the truth for this time upon those who know it not, saying, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." Joshua 24, verse 15. And praying that the Lord will bring conviction to their hearts. Oh, how solemn and important is the work entrusted to us! How far-reaching this work is in its results! How are we to obtain the strength and wisdom necessary for its successful accomplishment? As Daniel sought the Lord, so we are to seek him. Daniel declares, "I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel 9, verse 3. We are to seek the Lord in humility and contrition, confessing our sins, and coming into close unity with one another. Brethren and sisters, pray. Pray for your own sake and for the sake of others. Read and study the 9th chapter of Daniel. O Lord, hear, the prophet prayed. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Verse 19.
We are to come to God in faith and pour out our supplications before him, believing that he will work in our behalf and in the behalf of those who are seeking to save. We are to devote more time to earnest prayer. With the trusting faith of a little child, we are to come to our Heavenly Father, telling him of all our needs. He is always ready to pardon and help. The supply of divine wisdom is inexhaustible, and the Lord encourages us to draw largely from it. The longing that we should have for spiritual blessings is described in the words, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Psalm 42, verse 1. We need a deeper soul hunger for the rich gifts that heaven has to bestow. We are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, that we might have a consuming desire to know God by an experimental knowledge, to come into the audience chamber of the Most High, reaching up the hand of faith and casting out helpless souls upon the One mighty to save. His loving kindness is better than life.